Second scripture reading is 2 Peter. Focusing on section 5 through 9, but I'll begin at verse 1 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, for he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that this word in particular would come to our hearts and minds and hearts with power to again enable us to hear it and to do it and to be changed by it, Father. We just thank you for being here tonight. Bless us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter, as he says, the bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, has labored in these first four verses, to encourage us as to what we are, who we are, and what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, telling us about our like precious faith that we received, that was given to us as a gift by God, this faith that's so important in everything in the Christian life. He says we've received it, and by the righteousness of God, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then he tells us grace and peace. He wishes for us grace and peace to be multiplied to you, he says, in the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. We need both grace and peace, and God gives it in abundance. Peter's prayer or wish for the believers is that it be multiplied to us. We need an abundance of grace, and we need that experience by grace to experience that peace, the peace that God can alone give, the peace that is a result of our being at peace with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, and which peace passes all understanding, we're told. And again, all grace is given to us. All that we need for the Christian life, all that we need to persevere to the end, to endure trials and sufferings, which is the common lot of believers, some more than others, but it's reality. He says, goes on to say, as His divine power, His Godhead, the power that's within this living and true God, His Godhead, He's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, not all material things, everything we want and wish, but all things that we need in order to live life that's true life, in order to have eternal life, and to live a life that glorifies God, which would be the very definition of a godly life. A godly life is what the kind of life that's going to glorify God. And so He's given us all things that we need in order to live that way, in order to have life and to live in godliness. Through the knowledge, through knowledge of Him, knowing God, it is eternal life. This is eternal life, to know God, to know the Father, and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through the knowledge of Him who called us. God has called us with an effectual call, we're told. It's a powerful call. It's not the general call of the gospel. It's the peculiar, effective call that God alone can give to raise us from the dead spiritually. He calls us by name, just like He called Lazarus from the tomb. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus had no choice in the matter. He was dead and corrupting already, and he came forth from that tomb. And we as well, spiritually, being deader than dead, come forth. We are brought to newness of life. We brought it by the new birth into life and enabled to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's that effectual call by glory and virtue. God is glorious in His nature. And it's for His glory that He does these things. He does them for His own glory. That he calls us, He saves us, He does this wonderful work of salvation. And it's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. And by His virtue, God is virtuous, God is perfect and pure, and all excellence resides in Him. That's His nature. And because of that, He's given us these exceedingly great and precious, or precious and marvelous promises that are all true and sure, all guaranteed by Him, His nature and His covenant, His oath. His very being, says, Scripture tells us that God, who cannot lie, has made these marvelous, these wonderful promises to us that are guaranteed, and guaranteed by through the covenant and by the blood of Christ. Every promise is yes and amen in Christ Jesus, so that every promise is tied into Christ, tied into our relationship with Christ. Every blessing, every spiritual blessing is in Christ Jesus. And so every promise is fulfilled in and through Christ. And we can never get past our relationship. We should never want to get past our relationship to Christ. It's all in Christ. The more we can do to stay close to Christ, to focus on Christ, to look to Christ, the better off we are. Because every spiritual blessing is in Him. Every promise is yes and amen in Christ. These are great and precious promises. And through these, we've been made partakers of the divine nature. We've been born again. We've been brought to life, new life in Christ, and escape our fate. We were like those that were heading with no brakes in the car, as Pastor Mark said this morning, towards the cliff, and the sign giving us warnings, but we were oblivious to the sign. And we were heading to destruction, but God rescued us. He brought us out. He rescued us. He gave us that way of escape. We were enabled to escape that horrible judgment of God, that condemnation, brought out of the world. And then He begins in verse 5, and we're going to focus on this section here. It says, but also for this very reason. And what it means there is that in light of all that, if we look at all that God has done for us, all, it's kind of like a foundation. Everything He's going to say now, which some of these things, very honestly, are not very comfortable for us to hear. They're very challenging. But it's based on this foundation of all this grace and all this goodness that God has done for us. All the blessings, all the promises, all the life in Christ, and all the all that we need for a life that's truly life and a godly life. So this comes off of that. And He goes on to write, but also for this very reason, or in light of all these things, He says, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a knowledge that's just a head knowledge. But this knowledge is a knowledge that bears fruit. And it's all through faith, as it mentions in verse 5. But we're going to focus on just one little part of the verse in verse 5, which is the basis or starting point of this. It says, but also for this very reason, referring back, it says, give all diligence. We're just going to look at three words tonight. Giving all diligence and what that means. Because it's the starting point. It's the way we should address this, the way we should look at these things, adding to our faith. And faith is, again, is a foundation as well. It's all through faith, by grace, through faith, that we can do any of these things. And it's not that faith isn't enough, so we have to add virtue and knowledge and self-control to it. But they're the things that spring out of the faith. They're following our faith, if it's genuine faith. Again, there's a faith and there's a faith. There's a faith that's false faith and temporary faith. But then there's this true faith that we've been given, as we were told, receive this like precious faith because it's a gift of God. It's precious and it's fruitful and it produces fruit and it produces growth. If it's genuine, it's going to produce that. It's going to be accompanied by works, by fruit, by these virtues, these things that accompany it. It's like the fruit of the Spirit. They're going to be there. It's not like some people are going to have one fruit and somebody else is going to have another fruit. These are all going to be there and increasing as well. That's the growth part. That's the fruit bearing. They increase. We grow. We make progress through faith. But it requires diligence. Diligence speaks for itself, doesn't it? We all know, basically should know, what diligence means. If we're lazy and sloppy and careless, that's the opposite of being diligent. It has to do with effort and industry. But it also has to do with enthusiasm in that effort. It's an enthusiastic, and there's a haste to this effort. So it's enthusiastic haste. I mean, where it would cause us to move fast after something. The only thing I could think of to relate it to would be if you've ever seen children and you see them excited about something, they're in haste and enthusiastic. And they're diligent to go after it. It's like at recess. If you ever see them at recess, the bell rings for recess. And what do? They don't slowly walk out and just kind of drag along and go to recess. They bolt from the doors. You know, the doors fly open and the kids come running. They're enthusiastic. They're diligent about getting out to recess. And they're in haste because they're excited about it. Going back the other way, when the recess is over, they're kind of slow. And it's hard to get them in. But and it's like that on a Christmas morning when they're enthusiastic about coming down from to see what's under the tree. They're in haste. They're in urgency. There's a diligence. Well, that's the sense of that word, all diligence there. And again, it's it's the way that we should look at these virtues, the virtue of faith and faith and virtue of in itself, virtue, and which is moral excellence and knowledge and self-control. But it all involves diligence. We can really not understand the Christian life in a lot of different ways, and we can make mistakes. And one of those ways in which mistakes is, we mentioned this morning in Sunday school, is the attitude of, well, if it's the Holy Spirit who's going to do it, and he does get all the praise and because he's the one that's involved in our sanctification and we are totally dependent on the Spirit's work to sanctify us. And without him, we can do nothing. Without Christ, we can do nothing. Our tendency is, because of that truth, to not want to do anything. And Scripture doesn't allow us, if we're reading it properly, to think that way. If we're truly dividing the word of truth, which is another call to be diligent at doing that, rightly dividing the word of truth, studying the word of God, understanding it aright, we just have to do a brief look at Scripture to see that there's effort involved, a lot of effort, and there's laziness condemned and diligence commended. Many of the Proverbs bring us that. We read in Proverbs 4, and right off the bat, we have the wisdom of Proverbs, and it tells us that certain behavior is rewarded, a certain behavior is blessed, and other behavior is not blessed. In Proverbs 4:23, Solomon writes, "Keep your heart with all diligence." There's that word, diligence. It's a word of effort. It's a word of enthusiastic haste. Diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. We're to be diligent in guarding, keeping our hearts. And again, right away we're faced with it. It's not a physical diligence. It's spiritual exercise and effort that we're to put in because it deals with our heart. In Proverbs 13:4, we read, "The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." There, right in the text, it tells us that it's not speaking about, although it does commend diligence and industry and condemns laziness and promises blessing and prosperity to those who are diligent, and poverty to those who are lazy. That's a general principle that we find in life, right? If a person is lazy and unwilling to work, they're not going to be the ones that do well and make progress and gain riches or gain at least money in some way. But here it's speaking about the soul. It says, "The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing. The soul of the diligent shall be made rich." It's not speaking about riches and monetary prosperity. It's speaking about our soul's health and growing spiritually and the prospering of our souls spiritually, spiritual riches and prosperity. And again, it mentions diligence. So there's work involved in making progress in grace, in holiness, in the Christian life. Growing involves labor on our part. The Holy Spirit is at work. Holy Spirit is doing the work and gets all the praise and glory. God gets all the glory for what working in us, both to will and to do His good pleasure. But we are involved. He's not going to do it apart from us doing what we can do and what we're called to do. We would have to be just ignorant and ignoring these scriptures to think otherwise. In Proverbs 24:30-34, he says, "I went to the field of a lazy man, and by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." You can see the poetic language there communicating the truth about spiritual progress and growth and the result of laziness spiritually, the result of diligence. And here it's he considers well. He sees the life of someone who's been lazy. The weeds are overgrown. Life is full of thorns and sins and that haven't been pulled out, and it's choking out the fruit. It's like the parable of the soils, where the third soil was still uncultivated, was still full of weeds, and then that came out and choked and made the word unfruitful. And that's what he's considering here. He looks on it and receives instruction. We as well, from the Word of God, should consider, meditate on these things, that it's the diligent. The poverty there is the spiritual poverty. It's the lack of growth and the lack of fruit bearing that comes when we aren't diligent. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. In other words, the time is short. That goes along with the idea of haste. The effort is a zealous effort. It's in haste, enthusiastic haste, because the time is short, right? Our lives go by like that. The day is evil. The time is short. We redeem the time because the days are evil. So we need to be in haste and using diligence, using the means that God has given us to do these things. It's from Scripture over and over again. To have a fruitful life, growing in faith, our faith will demonstrate itself in growth, in fruit bearing, faithful growth in faith. The goal of this faith is bearing of fruit. In 1 Peter 2:2, we're encouraged not to be babies all our lives spiritually. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The word of God is so key and important means of grace that we need to grow by using it and moving on. But as newborn babes desire that pure milk from their mother, we are to desire the pure milk of the word in order to grow. To grow, to bear fruit, to be able to glorify God, to be able to better glorify God, that we should be no longer like children, in a bad sense here, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, or by the trickery of men, and in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. See, the goal is faith is for growth. It's the fruit that faith produces. It's growth, spiritual growth. Growing up into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Together we grow together, but we grow. It's the goal. It's the purpose of our faith. Spiritual growth that glorifies God. Some grow more than others, but there should be growth. There should be fruit. And it involves effort, diligence. We've been given all that we need, all the means of grace, all the blessings. We've been brought out of darkness into life. We've been given the new birth. We've been given the Holy Spirit to indwell us. We've been given all these blessings that Peter speaks about, grace and peace being multiplied to us, all that we need, everything that pertains to life and godliness, great and precious promises that are to encourage us along the way so when we fall and we stumble and we lose sight of the Lord, these promises are there like stepping stones and to step on and to get us through and get us on and to enabling us to persevere. So we've been given all these things. We need to use them, put them into use diligently with effort. And again, that's what this effort says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. It's the basis and foundation of faith is the basis and foundation of our effort. The means, the many means of grace we use, prayer, the word of God, fellowship, the church, the ordinances, meditating on the word of God, considering it well as it says in Proverbs there, meditating, word of God and prayer, meditation, the ordinances of the church, the body life of the church itself is the means of grace, but we need to use them with diligence. Again, much, much language in Scripture. How anybody could believe in the idea of just we just the Holy Spirit works and we're just kind of uninvolved and we're just resting and asleep and floating off down the stream or up the stream rather to heaven is beyond what Scripture teaches, because it's full of language about effort and work. Effort, exercise, we're to exercise in 1 Timothy 4:7-8 says, for reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of life that now is and that which is to come. Exercise involves work. No pain, no gain. Right? It's not fun to exercise, but we do it to pursue, to produce a result. Better health, more strength, more wind, whatever we're exercising for, losing weight, whatever. But it's we're willing to put in the sweat and gain the benefits. How much more with spiritual exercise, with spiritual diligence, do we need to do that? Again, it's only by the grace of God, only with the enablement, the work of the Spirit. We can't do it apart from the Spirit. And yes, yet the Spirit doesn't do it apart from our effort. We cannot do it apart from the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit does not do it apart from our effort, from our diligence, doing these things, exercise, labor. Scripture talks about laboring for the Lord. Our labors are not in vain. Well, labor says that. It's effort. It's labor is labor. It's work. We're to work at our salvation with fear and trembling. Laziness is condemned in Scripture. Either physical laziness for the foolish who are unwilling to work, but more importantly, spiritual laziness is condemned, as we said. Go to the ant. You know, it's lessons in natural life that we're to look. We're to look at the ant and his industry but not for physical gain, for spiritual gain. We're to be industrious like that ant and those bees and those things in nature. Diligent, enthusiastic zeal. We're to have an excitement. Be zealous for it, like those kids. They're excited about recess. We're to be excited about using the means of grace and putting these things into practice and growing in grace and bearing fruit. We're to have that kind of diligence so that we are willing to suffer a little bit, to lose a little sleep, to face embarrassment, to do whatever we have to make progress and to grow in grace, to spend more time in prayer, more time in the Word of God, more time at church and every available opportunity to be where God's people are, where the Word of God is preached and taught and every Bible study we can be at and prayer meeting we can make. And it involves effort and enthusiastic, hasteful effort, diligence in those things. We're to do it heartily. Whatever you do, do heartily. It involves our enthusiasm, our feelings, our whole heart putting into things. That's the language that Scripture uses. You can't get away from it. We can't ignore it. Sometimes I would like to and think the other way and just think that it's going to happen, you know, without my effort and without me doing anything. But I know that's wrong, and I've learned the lesson over and over again. You don't gain anything. You don't make progress unless we use these means of grace. And when we become lazy, when we become sleepy, like the virgins in the parable, they slept and they weren't prepared. They didn't trim their lamps. And when the bridegroom returned, they were surprised and had no oil. And we become lazy. We become sleepy as Christians. We're to be alert and on guard and watchful. And it involves, again, diligence and effort. It's not earning the salvation. It's not an effort to earn God's favor. It's an effort to grow and bear fruit and to be able to glorify God because of what all that He's done for us and by His grace. And it's always in dependence on Christ. We can never get away from Christ. We can never do it without Christ. Jesus speaks about that in John 15. It's abiding. We mentioned this morning in the Sunday school, abiding in Christ. And He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they're thrown into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, we will ask what you desire and it shall be done. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. We can do all things in Christ, all things that are needful, all things that are bringing glory to God. So we need to use the means of grace through the grace of Christ and independence on Him and the Holy Spirit. And of course, motivation is everything. When we're enthusiastic about something, when we really want to do it, we're again in that picture of enthusiasm and zeal. It's like the people when commentator mentioned about Zacchaeus being willing to climb up that tree. He wanted to see the Lord, and he was willing to be embarrassed. Climbs up a sycamore tree, and all humility, you know, all pride goes to the wayside. He just climbs up a tree and to see the Lord. Well, the friends that wanted their friend healed, and they were willing to cut a hole in the roof. Can you imagine what industry, what diligence, what it took? They were enthusiastic. They wanted him right there to Jesus, and they were willing to go through all that. That's the kind of enthusiasm, that's the kind of zeal that we have and need in an industry, that diligence that's necessary. But it takes motivation for that. And it's the love of Christ, the love of God that motivates us. If we're void of that, we're going to be doing it in our own strength. It says physical exercise profits a little. It's that those things we do that are apart from Christ, that are physical, like the harsh treatment of the body that Pastor Mark was preaching on, it profits nothing because it's not tied in with Christ. It has to be motivated by love for Christ, love for the brethren, and then it's done in the right, with the right motive and the right end. It's zeal, wholehearted effort, enthusiastic, fueled by love for Christ. So what does it produce? Why should we do these things? Well, obviously, Scripture commands us to do it and gives us promises when we do it, right? That's the good thing about the Word of God. Not only does He command us to do certain things, but then He ties on these promises of blessing when we do them. Isn't God good? He could just command us and we would have to say, yes, sir, and do them, right? But He blesses us. He gives us commands and then He gives us promises of blessings. And they're sure promises. We are blessed when we obey, right? Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. He blesses us abundantly. And one of the blessings that comes from our obedience is assurance. You see, later on in 2 Peter, which I'll get to in coming weeks, he says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent, uses the same word again, even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. He says, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, and for the entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we use diligence, one of the fruits of that, benefits of that, is we have more assurance of our salvation. We do what God commands us to do. We put the effort in. We labor. We work. We're enthusiastically laboring and being diligent in the means, use of the means of grace. And God encourages our hearts. In Hebrews 6:11 says, and we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. It's possible to be assured of a hope. And be more assured as we're diligently using these means of grace and putting them into practice, we'll be encouraged. We'll be assured that we're saved. We're Christians. We're growing. We'll see some growth. We'll see some fruit. And it'll benefit us. Again, there's a great danger in misunderstanding the work of the Spirit in all this, in all our Christian life. We have the tendency to depend upon the Spirit and misunderstand that dependence as being that if we're depending on Him, we're not doing anything. But the opposite is just the opposite is true. The full, faithful dependence upon the work of the Spirit and the help and the aid of the Spirit necessitates our doing something in the Spirit working with us and blessing those means. The blessing may be assured if we're diligently using the means, and it's the prescribed means by the Spirit, the Word of God in particular, and prayer, the prescribed means of grace that the Spirit will bless as we use them, as we put in the labors, as we get up early, earlier than we have to in the morning to pray, as we labor through difficult sections of Scripture because we know we're to read the Word of God, and as we sacrifice to go to a Bible study and learn and study the Word of God. It says to study, to be diligent, to present yourself an approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're to be studying the Word of God. Diligent involves diligence and effort, and the Spirit will bless that and will grow and will benefit from it. But all, again, in dependence, total dependence upon the Spirit's help and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, we can do none of this apart from Him, and we wouldn't want to do it apart from Him, because it would be meaningless. It would be nothing. It would come to nothing. It would be nothing more than mere physical exercise. And that would benefit us nothing. That would just be going through the motions, devoid of power and any true grace. So we need to do it in light of Christ and motivated by His love and His faithfulness and all that He's done for us. And then we can move on to these bearing these fruits in our lives and glorifying Him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. And some of it makes us uncomfortable. Some of us challenges us beyond what we think we're able to do. When we see and hear these things, Father, we're sometimes broken because we see how little we do them, how little effort we actually put in, and how little diligence we actually have in the things of God. We're crushed, we're broken, and yet it's the best place for us to be. Because then we're dependent on You and Your grace, which is sufficient for us. Father, we pray that You would keep us low and keep us dependent, Father, but give us the ability to do these things, to be diligent, to give all diligence to producing fruit in our lives and a faith that would bear fruit and grow and glorify You. We just look to You for Your grace and blessing on Your Word tonight and on these things. Help us to do them, Father. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.